He isn't taking the law away. He's saying, think not that I'm destroying it. I'm fulfilling it. And not only that, he's adding to it and making it stronger, making it more demanding. Let's read and hear what he says. Verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire, of Gehinnom, the Gehinnom of fire. That was, in the time of Christ, the valley of the son of Hinnom was formerly a place where they had done idolatrous worship to the god Molech, who it is believed demanded was a god of human sacrifice and child sacrifice. But in Jesus' time, they had used it as a place where they would throw the carcasses of dead animals and trash, and it was a place of burning. And there were always fires burning there. But it was not a place of torture. It was a place of death. It was a place of decay. A place where there was no life, except perhaps the worms which continually worked in and out of the flesh of that which was dead. You know, there's an Old Testament reference to it. Well, I'm not going to go into that. No. You see how he's saying, it's in the Old Testament you won't kill, okay? Well, I'm saying something a little stronger to you, that whoever is angry with his brother is in danger of judgment. You are in peril of judgment when you're angry at your brother. You are in peril of the council when you say to your brother, Raca, which is an Aramaic word. It is a contemptuous interjection, like saying, you. You know, it doesn't have a direct translation, but it is sort of like a derisive and contempt. You know, to be, what it is like, at first you see he has the thought, and then comes the outward manifestation of contempt coupled with the thought, but with a very little specification given to it. Raca. You know, so giving voice to the hatred and to the anger within. And then what? Whoever shall say, thou fool. Now giving the thought its full form, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus taught. The mouth is speaking the anger and hatred within towards the building, saying, you are in danger of hellfire. Now, what is he saying? Because he's saying that, what do you think happens to murderers? And I tell you before, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you do not inherit the kingdom of God, you will not inherit eternal life. That is what it means to inherit the kingdom of God, is to live eternal life. But rather, you will be in danger of the fires of Hinnom. You will be cast to the place of burning, where the dead remain, and the dead do not rise, and the dead know not anything, to the place where the dead are. You are in danger of the judgment of rejection of God, where he would send you forth from his presence, and out of existence, into the place of death. Never shalt thou be any more. Ezekiel 28. So what, again, so does this say, does it mean, I want to assure you, you know, let's say, don't be so foolish, right? Or Paul, thou fool, that which is quickened is not, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. It's not something to say, oh, don't be so foolish, or don't be a fool. You can say thou fool in love. Don't be so, you know, when you're trying to pull someone from it. But this is out of anger and out of the road that leads to murder, or that feels murder within one's heart. The desire to do away with your brother, not to help him. Tread lightly with all your words, you know. Every idle word men shall give an account in the day of judgment. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What he's saying is, you want to come to God to bring a gift? You know, a peace offering? Make peace with your brother first. Blessed are the peacemakers. Make peace with your brother, then come make peace with God. If you cannot make peace with your brother whom you see, how can you make peace with God whom you cannot see? Be reconciled. Settle your differences. When you come, don't let your brother have something against you. If you have something against your brother, forgive it. Especially when it comes to the things of this earth, you know? Oh, my brother owes me money, you know? Or, oh, my brother, he broke my favorite doodad. Verse 25, agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say to you, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You're going to pay the last penny. Make agreement with your adversary while you're in the way with him before you get to court. We want to suffer for righteousness' sake. But you can suffer for the mercilessness of another person if you owe them. If they have someone against you, what he's saying is you have an adversary taking you to court. Make peace. See if you can make an agreement before you get there. Before he deliver you to prison. You're not going to get out till you've paid the last penny. You know, don't think that because you are one of Christ that you will get away with things that you ought not get away with. You owe money, you're going to pay. I'm Christ, I don't have to pay. No, you got to pay. Darn it, I'd hoped that all my debts would just be poofed away. Oh, I know. Verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that not that thy whole body should be cast into Gehinnom, to the fire, the valley of Hinnom. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast to the fire of the vale of Hinnom. The reason I make a big deal about that is that in many of the places in the New Testament, we have two words, different words translated hell. A word that is so loaded with meaning in our traditions, in our folklore, that it is actually an impossible word to really deal with in English anymore. Because people have been so misled as to what it really means in a biblical sense. In the sense of what the Bible teaches, what Christ and his disciples taught, his apostles, and the doctrines of the Old and New Testament, as opposed to the doctrines and commandments of men. And so I'm going to give it to you straight. When we come to places where we can go a little more light on the subject, we will. But I'll tell you, as he says, your eye will perish. What happens when you pluck out your eye? It is the same thing that happens when your soul is cast into the fire of Gehinnom. When you pluck out your eye, does it see? Does it think? Does it know? Does it experience anything? No, it all perishes. It all passes away. Your eye loses its light.